The first reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, and then moving on to verses 22 to 31. This can be found on page 641 of the Church Bibles. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, and 22 to 31 on page 641. Wisdom's call. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. Moving on to verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth, or its fields, or any of the dust of the world. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in the whole world, and delighting in mankind. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Which can be found on page 1084 of the Church Bibles. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. The work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Please sit down. Excuse me a moment, I'm just going to move some furniture. It's your sign, I feel at home, I can move the furniture. That wasn't me.
You hear me? Okay, at the back? Never mind. And yes, Sally said I wouldn't introduce myself. She's already done that. Just a potted history of Derek Charnock. Retired from the ordained ministry in September. Moved here in October. We've been privileged to serve congregations in Portsmouth, Crawley, South London, and Leicester, and lastly, in St. Leonard's-on-Sea. That's next door to Hastings, but better. And of course, now we've made our new home in Tunbridge. As you'll probably notice, I've got a funny accent, because originally I originate from Stockport, and that's up north. And that's all you need to know about me for the time being. One of the things you will learn about me is that I have a brilliant gift of stating the obvious. So when I come to sharing God's word with you in a minute, you'll spot that fairly clearly. One of the things that Sally told me, that I shouldn't speak for more than 15 minutes. Well, I just have to point out that it's 8 months since I retired, and I haven't preached since. So I reckon that on a very conservative calculation, I've got 300 minutes stored up. Pardon? Not available to me. So for those of you who've got your watches out, sermon starts now. And at the risk of stating the obvious, the gospel reading from John 16 must be read in context. Somebody wise once said that a text without a context is just a pretext. And this passage belongs in the middle of that discourse about the Holy Spirit in particular, starting at chapter 13, working through, and it's followed by that wonderful high priestly prayer, as it's called, of Jesus when he prays for his disciples when he's soon to be taken from them. He prays that they may love one another as he has commanded them, that they may be united as his heart desires for them. And this passage, this brief few verses, comes in the middle of all that. And having said that, of course, it should all be taken in the whole context of the whole of the Gospel of John. Because John's Gospel, as you know, has a marked difference from the other three Gospels. The other three Gospels are a narrative, a historical narrative, where John's is more of a reasoned, considered reflection upon the whole narrative of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his meaning for you and I. So we should read this in the context of John. But we can't neglect, just briefly, that passage in Proverbs. Because in that passage, in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. It is anthropomorphized. I think I even pronounced that right. I haven't got a clue what it means, but that's what I saw in one of the commentaries. It is spoken of as if wisdom were a person. A person who was with God in the very beginning and was engaged as a craftsman at God's side in creation. John's gospel begins with those wonderful verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made that was made but by, through him. And some scholars have therefore kind of said that this wisdom in Proverbs 8 and other parts of Proverbs is a foreshadowing of Jesus. There is a slight problem of gender there somewhere, because it's the wisdom is spoken of as a feminine personified into the feminine. But we haven't got time to get into the whole business of gender in the Bible at the moment. But that's another part of the 300 minutes I've got coming. And there's good reason for that, because there is that wisdom and the truth that Jesus both brought and was he who said, "I am the truth." The one whom John says was full of grace and truth. The wisdom and truth are very closely related. They have at the heart of them We spend our lifetime trying to understand this fully. But they have at the heart of them a sense of a deep, a profound, personal and intimate relationship with the truth. The truth isn't something we simply believe, as important as that might be. It's something with whom we have a relationship, a growing, deepening, expanding knowledge of a personal truth. Now, when Jesus, what has that got to do with today's reading? Well, what did Jesus say to disciples in those few verses? He said, I have much more to say to you than you are able to bear now, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth. And that sense, again, to have that sense, being led, and it's not a one-off. It's not, follow me, here you are, here's the truth. It's a continuous verb. It means to go on being led deeper and deeper, closer and closer into the truth. And you said, you're not able to bear it now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit hasn't yet come to open them to that possibility of knowing the truth. As deeply as God has made possible. Because one of the things we need to remember, of course, on this Trinity Sunday, that the Spirit of truth, whom Jesus is sending in his name from the Father, is none other than the Spirit of Jesus. And none other than the Spirit of God. That when the Spirit of God comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, it is nothing other than Jesus and the Father coming to dwell deeply and personally, permanently and expandingly in the life of those who will trust him. And until he comes, his disciples, Jesus said, you're not able to bear it now because this is actually just too big for you. It's too big for you to get a grip on without a bit of help. Excuse me, Mark, just have a... Is this still water? Yes, it's still water. And there was a joke there somewhere, and it was very deep, and you have to dig a long way. So Jesus said, this truth they must have got the message by now a little bit, mustn't they? Jesus said to them, I am the truth. I am the way, the life, and the truth. John certainly, when he wrote his gospel, had got the message. Jesus was the Logos, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, the Word full of grace and truth. And they were going to get the message in a much more deep and tangible and personal way. A way... When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, pennies began to drop and things became clearer. And as we read, particularly through the book of Acts, we can see gradually, can't we, their awareness expanding, their understanding of all the things that Jesus had said beginning to develop. They're becoming, and it's not about just knowing the truth. This wisdom is not about simply knowing the truth. It's about relating to the truth and knowing how it should be applied in our lives. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge that is applied appropriately. And this wisdom that Jesus promised, this truth that Jesus personified, is that ability to know all that is God's. Jesus said he will come. When he comes, he will show you all that is mine. Because all that is the Father's is mine. And he's going to show you all that's mine. He's going to reveal to you all that is of God. No wonder they weren't able to bear it at that point in their time. And I don't suppose there was a time ever, even in the life of the great apostles, when they were fully able to bear. Now that bear doesn't doubly mean I can't stand it. It means you don't have the capacity to carry it. There was never a time in their lives when they were going to be fully enabled to carry the whole of the truth of God. But they were going to be able to carry all that truth of God that he needed them to know, to enable them to live and to serve and to care and to love as he wanted. Because those things are a crucial aspect of the Christian life. And they didn't have that capacity to carry the whole of that. It was a gradual unfolding, a gradual process of learning more and more, of experiencing more and more. Every time they took a step of faith at the prompting of God's Holy Spirit and the prompting of the Spirit of Jesus, they discovered yet a new dimension of what God wanted them to do. One of the things that spills out of that is that they were growing in relationship. Now, I don't know if you realize, I'm sure you do, because one or two of you have been a little bit older than me. And, two of you, I've just can't know. And you notice that experience is meant to be shared. And some of you have got enormous experience of the love of God. That's a precious gift that can only get bigger and better as you share it. As you grow on, as you grow on, not as you go on, as you grow on with Jesus, that becomes more and more important. So, as those disciples spent time relating with Jesus, and look in your Bibles and check me out if I'm not right, as they spent more time with Jesus, little by little, and particularly after Pentecost, they became more like him. One of the things Paul says is, imitate me because I imitate Jesus. Do what I do because I do what Jesus did. The old saying is, isn't it, bad company corrupts good morals. And if you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. But the company you keep, in other words, is extremely important. The kind of company you keep will rub off on you. It will be, you will imbibe it. So what the Holy Spirit is doing as he's unveiling this depth of truth, he's enabling and deepening this relationship with Jesus, he's enabling them to keep company with the risen Saviour and little by little to be transformed. Again, Paul says in Corinthians, doesn't he? We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another into the likeness of Christ. He says somewhere else that we're like cracked earthen vessels. I'll tell you a story, very briefly. My dear old gran, who was the apple of whose eye I was, when I used to go and visit her, which was really quite frequently, she would have her cup of tea, and she would always pour a drop of her tea into a saucer and give it to me to drink. Oh, how very uncouth! But it was an act of love. Tea in her cup was too hot, so she would pour some into the saucer to cool it and share it with me. But that was not what fascinated me. Gran's cup fascinated me, because I don't know how it held together. It had so many cracks, and you could actually see the tea seeping through them. And I used to gaze in wonder and awe at this cup and wonder one day when it would happen, when it would actually collapse. And no one else in the family dared to wash Gran's cup, because if it fell to pieces in their hands, there would be ructions. That means that's a northern word for trouble. And it would be... But Paul, you could see what was in the cup through the cracks. And as we're being transformed, people can see what's in through the cracks. Because Christians are a lot of crackpots, aren't they? And through the cracks, something of Jesus is showing. So when people think you're cracked because you're a Christian, say, yeah, I am. Yeah. And I hope you can see Jesus through the cracks. As those disciples spent time, kept company with Jesus, they became more like him. And therefore, that must be true for you and I. Because we live post-Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already come. The moment you said yes to Jesus, the moment you put your faith and trust in him, the Holy Spirit came to bring Father and Son to live. Not just with you, but in you. To fill you, to enable that depth of personal relationship. To enable you to be all that God created you to be in the growing image of Christ. And since no one of us is capable of actually showing that as fully as we might wish, we need one another. That's why partly why we've got church, because together, as we grow together in relationship with one another and with him, he becomes yet more visible, more tangible, more experienced. And the flip side of that is, when the Spirit of Jesus comes to live us, when the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence, he sets us free. Sets us free from that tiresome business of trying to be good. Because when we keep company with Jesus, he will rub off on us. We don't have to try to be good as if we could, by our own efforts, emulate Jesus. He does the work within us that Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, who comes to reveal all that is Jesus, all that is God's. Does that work within us? Our job is not to make ourselves nice and good, but to let Jesus work his work within us to become what he wants us to be. I've been trying to be good since I became a Christian, but 40 years ago. And it's such a tiring business, isn't it? It's full of condemnation. You fall on your face how many times in your life? You get it wrong again, and you look in the mirror and say, "You fool, you silly Billy," or words to that effect, sometimes rather stronger. And you put yourself down, "I can't do it, I can't do it." No, you can't, that's the whole point. It's the Holy Spirit who can do that work within you. What you have to do is keep company with Jesus. Let him rub off. Let the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit wrap around you, come dwell within you so deeply that you know their presence. And to keep company with Jesus requires three things, and I told you I'm brilliant at stating the obvious. Read your Bibles. Say your prayers. Above all, love one another. It is in loving one another, in obedience to the word of God, in obedience to the command of Jesus, that we experience him most fully. And it is so important for the world that the church learns to love one another, because this is where we practice loving. And if we can't get it right here, the rest of the world has got no chance. It's as we develop spending company with Jesus. And when we spend company with one another, sorry, I can't go away from the mic, can I? I have this terrible walking around habit. If we spend company with one another, in whom that same Spirit of Jesus dwells, then we are spending company, keeping company with him, aren't we? Or is that just too obvious, is that too simplistic, even for me? No, that's what God wants. That's how we grow. That's how we develop. That's how we experience the truth of the Holy Trinity. Nobody understands the Holy Trinity. Excuse me. I think it was Selwyn Hughes who said the Holy Trinity is not just truth for our brains. It's truth for our hearts. We experience the truth of the Holy Trinity when we keep company with Jesus. We go deeper into truth, and the truth goes deeper into us. Shall we pray? God, our Father, we praise you and thank you that in your infinite love, you have made it possible for us to know your indwelling. That through your Son, Jesus Christ, you provided for everything, every need, and you've set us free. Lord, help us to remember that the truth does indeed set us free to love you and to serve you and to grow more like him day by day. Help us, Lord, to keep company with Jesus so that the world can see and that seeing thy might believe. And we ask it, Lord, in the name and for the sake of Jesus' kingdom. Amen.